Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hey, I know. I'll use my trusty frying pan as a drying pan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Out of the Drawing Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast. This week, we have the episodes of The Wayward, Woba Fett, and Sick Days. As always, just a quick reminder, this is an E for explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm your host, Jacob, and with my co-host, Alex.
Hello, hello, hello.
What up, Alex?
There's a lot that's up, Jacob. I'm feeling like these episodes today. I'm feeling kind of wayward. I'm feeling like I'm in a daze. There's just been a lot going on.
Yeah, there has been a lot going on, which would have a lot for you to talk about. But before that, our other co-host, Austin, is here. Hello, Austin. How you doing?
Hello. I'm also feeling like these episodes because I'm sick.
Oh, no.
I still have a cold. It's almost gone, but I might be a little stuffy, so apologies.
It's okay. It's all right. It happens from time and time again, you know. Being unclean will get you sick, so.
Hey now.
You're an all-star.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I'm just thinking about the pandemic. Someone got this, like, contagious disease. It was like, they're impure.
I love how I saw Austin yesterday, and he failed to mention in any capacity that he had a cold, and I was sitting right next to him for.
That's how
it spreads. I totally did tell you.
When did you tell me that?
In my brain.
Okay.
Alex, to be fair, Austin would be the guy not to tell someone he's sick. So give him a break.
No, Austin would assume he already knew.
How come you don't know this about my life? Alex, you are the problem here. I could definitely see that.
I know. Clearly, I can't read minds, and I'm the problem.
Did I really not tell you?
I don't think so.
Oh, shit.
So when I get sick this next coming week, I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, then you got a scapegoat there, Alex. You can just blame Austin.
Mm-hmm. We should not have shared that ice cream cone. That was a bad decision.
Yeah, y'all don't have to lick it at the same time either. That was weird.
We shouldn't have done the Lady and the Tramp spaghetti noodle thing.
Oh, this is getting romantic. I don't like it. Gross.
No, just kidding.
Ew! Don't make me more sick. God.
I like my cone half-dipped, if you know what I mean.
We all know what you mean, sure.
All right, speaking of dipping, what'd you do this week, Austin?
I was a dip.
I was a dip, okay.
I don't know what that means.
Wait, is that some fancy new slang the young people are using?
No, I don't know what it means, but I made Alex go with me to go see a movie in the movie theater, and it was Madame Web, and we were the only people in the theater.
Nice.
Guys, this is the first time. Austin said this has happened to him one other time in his life. But for me, this was the first ever time I've ever been in a movie theater with zero other people, other than the person I'm going with, in this case, Austin. It was phenomenal.
It was so cool.
We were talking and cutting up the whole time, like obnoxious teenagers, but it was so fun.
Was it like better than the movie? Was like being alone more exciting than the movie in front of you?
The only problem was we couldn't pause the movie to discuss it.
Well, there wasn't really much to like pausing for, so.
No.
That lets you know right there, yeah. This is
what we knew going in. They said it's like the new Showgirls, so.
It was bad, but there was a lot of things in there, like, we were, like, how is this possible? Like, there was one part that we pointed out specifically where they're involved in, like, an incident in the subway, and the cops are chasing them. And literally, like, 2 seconds later, she gets in a taxi cab, and on the radio is the news report of what was happening at that very moment. I was like, how the fuck is that even possible?
That's not as amazing as how within 2 or 3 hours, the incident is on the front page of the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
In a different state.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's what it's like. This has got the lady from 50 Shades in it, right?
Yes.
Does she do what she did in the previous, those films in this?
I never saw those films, so I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't either. I was just asking.
Oh, you mean, was she having, like, sexy times? No, she was not.
Okay.
There were some people with gimp suits, though, in the movie, so...
Yeah, what was that?
There was nothing to that. There were, like, jungles... Okay, spoiler alert, whatever. There were, like, jungle spider people, like, mystical spider people, but they were, like, dressed in, like, rope gimp suits, and they, like...
They were, like, naked with, like, ropes on them.
Yeah, and they appeared for, like, maybe 2 seconds and then had no impact on the rest of the story whatsoever.
Who is Madame Web? What is she? Is she like a Spider-Man offshoot, or what is she, Austin? You know, yes, you gotta know.
We don't want to get into it, but yes and no.
Okay.
Something Web of Destiny or whatever.
Yeah.
Right, Austin. Is that right?
Yeah. Let's not get this. Alex, how's your week?
Okay. So aside from that, and being the only people in the movie theater, which was fucking great, this past week was a whirlwind. I have spent the past 8 days moving. I moved into my new place and I've been living out of boxes. I have no washer and dryer and no microwave.
Is there a community washer and dryer?
No.
I said you can use mine.
Yeah, Austin is fairly close to me, so I have options, but it's very inconvenient, I will say.
How much are you going to charge her, Austin, if she chooses to do that?
Well, I'm going to charge her to go see Madame Web again.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, I still owe you for that, so don't let me forget.
Oh, yes, you do.
I am formally going to apologize so the audience can hear that I did not help you move, Alex. I'm sorry about
that.
Yeah,
Jacob gave an excuse on the 11th hour because he didn't want to help me move. So, yeah, fuck you, Jacob. Thank you.
Yeah. My arthritic mother-in-law couldn't get her mail.
I'm kidding. I am glad that everything
went
smoothly.
I wasn't there. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm glad that Jacob wasn't there. No, it went smoothly. I appreciate all the help I got, but it's okay, Jacob. When I move out of here, inevitably, you'll be on the hook then.
Yes. When we do the house, next is the house, we'll help you out there.
Yeah.
The house next to the house?
No, I said the house is next. Like, she's getting a house next.
Yeah, right.
Oh, Alex, I didn't know you were in house.
Mm-hmm. I didn't either, because the interest rates are so bad.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Alex was going to move in next door to you, Jacob. And I was like, oh, how fun.
It is for rent, if anybody wants to take it. It's a nice neighborhood.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's kind of expensive.
Well, that would have been, it's kind of expensive, it would have been nice, but it'd be cool. Know. Is it the entire house or like a room in the house?
It's the whole house. You get the whole thing.
Oh, shit. I couldn't afford that, but thank you for the offer.
Yeah, and I figured I didn't. It's kind of far for you, probably.
It is. You know, honestly, for the amount of money that I'm paying, I might as well be in a house. I'm sure the rent I'm paying is more than a mortgage, but somehow I can't qualify for that, so.
Yeah, don't be so sure. My mortgage is very high.
Well, I guess it's kind of like anything. When you buy a car, buy a house or whatever, they can get you into it. You're just going to be paying forever until you die.
Oh, he's got a statement.
A mortgage statement.
I can't look at
nice.
It.
Nice.
You got to hold it a little closer.
I can't even read that.
Sorry, another visual cue for the listeners. I was holding up on my mortgage statement that I keep with me at all times.
I didn't see it, but if it is what I thought it was, I'm sorry. That's what I've got to say.
What do you mean?
It looked like
a
lot.
What do you mean?
It looked like a lot.
Oh, yeah, it was. It
yeah.
Is. Austin, why do you keep that with you at all times? Is this just like...
No, I just had it on my desk so I wouldn't forget to pay it.
It's like you're, I don't know, like some sort of sword of Damocles hanging over you all the time.
Yeah, pretty much. Jacob, how's your week?
It was good.
Alex, I'm assuming you're done.
Yeah, I am done. Nothing really exciting other than like moving, which is a complete cluster. So I'll report back when I actually have a couch and a washer and dryer. And anything, really. So, Jacob, what's been going on in your world?
I beat Oxenfree 2, the sequel to that game I was telling you about. It was okay. I don't know.
There was a sequel?
Yeah, it was a sequel. And the girl from the first one comes back. I don't know how it works. I don't know. It kind of lost me a little bit through. This one, like, the important decisions were definitely clearly more highlighted. So, that was easier. But other than that, it was like, okay.
Oh, wait, didn't last time you say with the first one, like, your choices, you didn't know, like, you were making certain choices, and at the end, it was like, surprise, you actually, like, killed somebody or something.
Yeah, like everybody was, we all grew up, I thought like I brought us together because we ended with like a hug and like making out and all that stuff. And I'm like, hell yeah, whoa. I did this all. And then it was like in the prologue or epilogue, not the prologue, epilogue. It was like, in the distant years, you grew far apart from your friends and you all hated each other and wanted to run each other over. And it's like, what the hell is this? I thought I did good. It made you feel good at the end, but apparently not.
See, maybe it's kind of like real life where you think you know something right. Or you yeah. think you stand somewhere with somebody, but then actually secretly they hate you or whatever.
I too went to the movies this week. I'm going on a movie binge here and watching all the Hunger Games movies. So I went and saw Mockingjay Part 2.
In the theater?
In theater. What? Yep.
Wait, they showed Mockingjay Part 2 in the theater?
Yeah. They said there was no good movies out right now, so they put it in Mockingjay Part 2.
Well, it's that time of year. Yeah.
I'm sorry, why would you go spend the money when you could just probably wait for it to come to streaming?
It's on streaming. It's been on streaming forever. It's just been
why
out forever.
Why did you go to the movies?
Because I got good food there. I wanted a good meal.
No, they do not.
This one does. I like the food here.
Oh, I know what you're thinking.
I went to the special place.
No, they don't have good food there anymore.
They do have great food there.
You
want to
pay like $30 for like a cold sandwich? Okay, cool.
Nope. The movie to go was like $5 and the meal was like $8. So
yeah.
It wasn't that bad at all. Yeah, it's actually very affordable. And I've never seen these movies before. My wife read all the books. So she was like, well, I can tell you the difference, what happens in the book and what happens in the movie. And I like knowing that stuff, so that made it fun. There's only like three people in the movie theater, or three groups of two people.
That's more than was at Madame Web.
Yeah, I know, right? This old movie got more of an audience than
that's
that.
That's so sad. That movie's been out for years, and it's been on multiple platforms, and the fact that there was more activity for that than what we went to see, that's sad.
I only ever saw The Hunger Games, but I finally have seen, like, Catching Fire and Mockingjay and all this stuff. And to go from, like, the first one to how this last one ends is, it's a lot.
I did not read those books, but I saw all the movies, and I did not care for basically any of them other than Catching Fire.
Okay, I have to look it up really quick because a memory just came back to me where one of my very first assignments as a freshman in college was to read The Hunger Games for my...
I remember that.
English class or whatever. What year did that come out? Hold on.
Oh, man, it's probably like 08 or something.
How do you remember that, Austin? Damn.
He's a reader. He remembers this stuff.
Yeah, okay. It was... Jacob, you were right. It was 2008.
Holy cow, that was a guess. I'm killing with the numbers today.
So it was still fairly new, I guess, when... I mean, it had been a couple years old since when I started it for class, but it was the big thing.
Do you want to know the honest reason I remember that?
Why?
It's because I remember thinking, why are they teaching The Hunger Games in a college-level course? That's not a college-level reading assignment.
Yeah, I was about to say, I read that book in the 8th grade. No, when did I read that book? I read that book, like, either early high school or middle school. They made us read
it. Yeah, that's the target demo.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's fine to read it at any age, but why is it in a college-level course?
To be completely honest, with that class, like, they had, I remember now, but they had screwed up, so that was, like, English 101 or whatever it was. But they screwed up my, like, college AP credits from high school. And it turns out, like, I didn't even have to take that class. So, like, halfway through the semester after I had read that book, they were like, actually, you don't need to finish this class because you...
Oh, my God.
I know.
Did you get refunded?
What do you think?
Oh, no. God, what a...
They were like, yeah, actually, because I was like, this is... I don't even remember how it came about, but they basically, like, put... They were like, okay, you have to take this other class, but you're going to get credit for that. Because I was like, I already took the class in high school, basically. The college we went to was fucking absurd.
I made a bad decision going to that school. Anyway.
We all make decisions we regret, so.
Seeing this movie was, I felt, a good decision. Like, it gets weird, but, like, in a kind of a good way, if that makes sense. And it's kind of like Game of Thrones-y. It's basically Game of Thrones. That's basically what it is.
Wait, so Jacob, did you see the prequel, whatever just came out?
No, I'm going to... See, we're watching all these. We're seeing that next Sunday. So.
Okay, I saw that. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was better than the Katniss ones.
Yeah, are Leslie keeps telling me that it's, like, amazing. Like, President Snow's story is actually pretty good.
God, you know, the other movie that was big around the same time... Well, I should say the book... You'll have to remind me, you guys, but I don't think the movie's ever, like... I think they made the first one and then...
Can I guess
bombed.
It? Can I guess
Go
it?
Ahead.
Divergent.
Yes.
Yes. You're gonna say that.
I never saw or read any of those.
Y'all, what the hell happened to that movie franchise? Like,
didn't they, like, they did part one, yes, and then they never did part two?
They never finished it. It just never got done. God.
Which is kind of awesome in of itself.
The whole premise of that book was actually pretty good, I thought, because it's basically almost kind of like Hunger Games. You've got, like, this dystopian society where it's, like, these different factions and, like, when you turn a certain age, you can pick one to join or something. And I can't really remember, but I know that Shailene Woodley was, like, the lead in that movie. And they made the first one, but then, like Jacob said, they just abandoned it or something. I have no idea what happened.
She went from being, like, a pregnant teenager to being, like, the leader of this rebellion.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
She was almost Mary Jane Watson in Spider-Man.
Was she really?
Oh, man, that'd have been cool.
They filmed all her scenes and then cut her out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like that movie deserves better, but alas.
That was a theme from books and movies, that dystopia. Was because they were kept talking about how bad millennials are going to have it. So, like, this is your future. Get ready for it. It's going to be just awful.
Yeah, what's the current theme?
Multiverse,
duh.
Multiverse, yeah. Alternate timelines, time travel.
That's the big one. Oh, Alex and Jacob. Everything, what? Everywhere, All at Once is on Netflix.
Oh my gosh, I have to watch
it. You have to watch it.
Okay.
Y'all, I'm looking it up because I don't want to give any misinformation. Okay, apparently the Divergent series, they did make 3 movies.
Okay.
Oh, I see. It says it was set to be the first of 2 parts, but maybe they just didn't make the second part of the last movie.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought happened.
Yeah, it says a theatrical sequel titled The Divergent Series Ascendant, based on the latter half of the Allegiant book, was meant to wrap up the series and was scheduled to be released in 2017, but then the plans for the film were later changed to a TV series, but then that was canceled.
Holy cow, okay.
That was back when, like, Harry Potter, when it was, like, big to have the final movie in 2 parts.
I know.
That backfired.
Yeah. Harry Potter started that trend, and then it just kind of, man, because they found out they could make more money, obviously. I remember, because what is it? Harry Potter did it. Hunger Games did it. Twilight did it. That movie tried to do it. So it just
didn't work out.
Didn't work out. They were too late.
I'm looking up the Maze Runner film series, and apparently they specifically said they decided not to split the last book into 2 movies. So good for them.
God. Yeah, I may watch that just because of to support that movement. Let's go buy it. Just like Austin and I have been this week, sick is a theme of this week's episodes, or at least one of them. The first one I couldn't come up with a transition for, and it's called The Wayward Woba Fett. And then the other one's Sick Days, which is about, you know, sickness and stuff. And I guess this first episode is Woba Fett gets his episode. How many Woba Fett episodes have we had?
This is like the third one.
Yeah. It's like he gets his moment. I feel like when they're bored, we're like, we got this thing that is just there. We'll have fun with it. All right, let's dive in here. The randomizer has spoken. I get the 30-second summary this week. Alex, you get to do The Wayward Woba Fett. And Austin, you get Sick Days.
I'm just here for how Jacob says Woba Fett. It's Woba Fett all the
time. Woba Fett.
Wait, say it.
Woba Fett.
Why?
Woba Fett.
What do you say?
Woba Fett.
No, it's Woba Fett. That's how he says it.
No, he says Woba Fett.
You know.
Because he wobbles.
Woba
Fett's here.
Woba Fett.
Are there 2 B's in the name? Let me see.
Are there? I have no idea.
I'm probably saying it wrong. Yeah, B means it's a soft O, right? Double B.
What?
That's the rule in grammar.
Wobble.
Is it?
That's the rule in grammar. If it's a double consonant followed by a vowel, it's a soft, not hard.
But it's not followed by a vowel. It's followed by an L.
No, it's followed by a double consonant. That's what I'm saying.
An L? Oh. Where is there an L in Woba Fett, Austin?
Oh, shit. I was thinking the word wobble. But that was that's the base word.
Is there a gas leak in here? What's going on?
Fed. Yeah, probably. My pancake orgy smell.
We're going to come back and find Austin, like, covered in mold, like...
That's a he's a cordyceps. It's like...
I'm going to be a Wobbuffet.
He's got this, like, just mushroom head and...
I'm all blue.
He's just inking, like, ink's just shooting out the top of him like a volcano. Oh, my God. That's a rule, though, Austin, right? Double consonant followed by a vowel means it's a soft vowel.
But I think it's from the root word wobble.
It probably, yeah, it is. I'm not saying that. I'm just
it's a proper name.
I know I'm saying it wrong, but that's just how I grew up saying it. So that's what you're going to get.
That's how you grew up. Yeah, in your house, we said Wobbuffet.
In my house, we say Wobbuffet.
That's okay, how it was raised. if the first half is wobble, what's the buffet?
Buffet.
Buffet.
Because you punch it. It's like a punching bag.
Like Jimmy Buffett.
Buffett? Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's like a punching bag.
By the storm. Oh, okay. I see.
Because he counters everything. He's like just a soaking, he's like a sponge, just soaks it all in.
Wow, you guys are here with the Wobbuffet facts.
The etymology.
Yeah, I know words, I just don't know how to say them.
Sure. Here's a good one. Is it Rayquaza or Rayquaza?
Rayquaza. I've always said Rayquaza.
Rayquaza.
Raikou or Raikou?
Raikou.
Oh, here's my favorite. Pidgeot or Pidget?
Pidgeot. I've always said Pidgeot.
Yeah.
Jacob, how do you say Suicune?
Suicune or whatever. I've never said that one right. Suicune. I say Suicune. I think when I first read it, I was like, Suicune's that cool Pokemon. And everyone's like, what the hell are you talking about? It's like, you know that one?
Suicune.
Suicune.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The game didn't tell you how to say it. It was just text, so.
True. I mean, again, it's imaginary words, so they don't have real pronunciation.
There you go.
I have a question, a quick poll for you guys, and then we can get into these. Going forward for, like, future Pokemon games on the Switch, and not remakes or whatever, but maybe remakes, I don't know. How would you guys feel about them actually narrating the Pokemon games? Like, voice acting.
Narrating?
Like, voice acting.
Oh, yeah, they need it. It's awkward they don't have it.
I just think, how would you guys like that implemented? Would it be kind of like an RPG where the characters are talking to your character, but your character doesn't say anything? Or would you rather have, like, full voice acting?
They're not going to have the player character talk, but I think they need to have voice acted cutscenes. It's awkward they don't already have it.
Even if they had a pull from other games, like when I walk in a Pokemart, I want there to be like, hello, stranger. What are you buying? What are you selling?
Just want to buy a watch?
Pull from other audio if you need to.
The fact that Scarlet and Violet was so cinematic and nobody had a single speaking line was so jarring to me. It was so weird.
They literally have cutscenes that are concerts where the person's lips are flapping and there's no...
Lyrics. It's so... Is that... Save money.
Rhyme.
Yeah, that was really bad. God, if they ever remake Black and White 2 with Roxy, she's a singer. They have to have lyrics in that. Like, that's crazy.
You don't have to do anything.
Well, I know it's Game Freak. They don't have to. Well,
y'all still buy it, so they ain't gonna do it.
Oh.
That's true.
Y'all, Pokemon Day is 2 days from when we record this, and they're totally announcing something.
Y'all, okay, mark my words. What do we think? It's going to be something Black and White related.
It's going to be Black and White.
Pokemon Retribution.
Whoa.
So it's going to be, yeah. It's sort of like, they've messed up so many years, this is like their comeback. Like, we're sorry. And it's going to be great.
No way. It'll be something made under tight deadlines with minimal. Right,
yeah. As long as they, I might piss off some people, and this is just my opinion, but... As long as they don't do how they did with the Diamond and Pearl remakes, I'll be fine.
I think that's what we're going to get.
No. It's either going to be, what is it going to be? Pokemon Gray. We could go that way.
That'd be cool.
Pokemon Pure White. Pokemon, what would be, let's like a chanting or really cool word you would describe, like, what could go with black?
Tainted black and pure white.
Yeah, like one's evil, one's...
Well, we're going to know for sure by the time this episode comes out.
I saw some PokeLeak thing, and these are fake, but I did like the naming convention. I thought this would be pretty cool, so we'll see if there's any truth. I heard Vast White and Deep Black, or Deep White or Vast Black, like one of those.
Oh, yeah, that's decent.
That's pretty good.
I would think that would be pretty cool, but I'm not sure how true that is. You got to take the leaks with the grain of salt.
Or they could make like a really long subtitle, like Pokemon Black, the absence of all color. Pokemon White, the presence of all color.
I'm just going to say, if they don't have Pokemon World Tournament make a return, I'm going to be very sad.
That's only in 2, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's just wayward thinking. We can go back to the episode of Wayward Wobbuffet.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do my best because this one's wild.
I love this episode.
Yeah.
Get ready, Jacob.
Okay.
In 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so the episode starts out with immediately Team Rocket trying to capture Pikachu. Some mishap happens and Wobbuffet gets lost. Then he winds up in the arms of a criminal named Goleth, I think. And then, I can't remember his name. Anyway, Goleth, so I think I'm going to go with that. Alfred Jane tries to stop him. It doesn't work. Something happens with Goleth, and Wobbuffet gets free again. He lands in a river and lands on a boat. Team Rocket and Ash are going after him, actually trying to help each other. Wobbuffet goes back to Goleth somehow, and he's held hostage, and he helps save the day from the criminal and reunites with Team Rocket. What's his name?
Yeah, what was that guy's name?
I thought it was Goleth.
Gohan... Ganondorf? I don't know.
Tien.
Ganondorf.
I know he had a golem with him.
Golem. I think you're right, Jacob, because I did hear Ganon at one point, but then I'm like, wait, that's not right.
Okay, Bulbapedia says Gonif.
Gonif?
G-O-N-E-F-F.
Sure.
Oh, let me see what this is.
That's some Pokemon XD naming shit.
Okay, when you Google Gonif, the first result is the Bulbapedia page for Gonif.
Because that's a nonsense name.
Yeah, this is not a real name. Sorry to any Gonifs out there.
Yeah, let me walk that back. It might be a real name. Sorry.
But it doesn't come up on Google if it is a real name, so.
It's this guy's name, I guess, but we'll get there.
Oh, I get his name. Gonif, like he's gone. There we go.
Going Gonif.
Yeah.
Sure. We'll go with that. How do you even, like, start with this episode? This is some, like, Acme, Wile E. Coyote, and the Roadrunner shit. Like, this is...
That means that Warner Brothers won't release it. Hey!
Oh,
that's such a tragedy, really. Anyway, yeah, this is nonstop action. This is nonstop, like, something is happening. It's a comedy of errors. It's ridiculous, like, one after another in a sequence of events. So, I guess let's start at the beginning. So, the narrator is there, and he's making a huge deal over the fact that even though the Twerps don't know it yet, Team Rocket is laying in wait. Even though they do that, like, every day.
But they're always surprised.
They are always surprised. I guess because they have amnesia every day, so maybe that's the reason.
The gas leaks. The Pokemon universe.
It's the pancake smell.
Oh, gosh.
It's the sulfur.
Okay, so this time, their getup is they're dressed as scientists, and they're standing in the middle of the road and pretending to examine some sort of contraption they call a Poke Pod. It's like this box thing with a bubble in the front, and it's like, it's obvious, it's so painfully obvious what this is.
Oh, you know what it is? I was going to say, it reminds me of those, like, have you seen them, those backpacks that are clear that hold, like, dogs in them? Like, little dogs?
Yeah, like the little cat and dog backpacks.
The dog pod thing. It looks like that.
That's a good comparison. It basically is, but they're pretending, like, oh, look, we can't get our Poke Pod thing to work. And Ash comes up, and he's like, hey, guys, what's going on? Can we help? They give some explanation, like, it's, like, the next big thing in Pokemon training, but then when they explain it, they're like, you just carry your Pokemon in it.
It's like, for people who feel bad about Pokeballs, here's another option for you, another tightly confined space, slightly bigger.
Oh, that's a good point. Pikachu hates being a Pokeball. This might be torture for him, this whole episode.
No, it's true.
Well, they literally say it's, like, you can't put anything in, no food, no water, no air, and somehow...
God, he should have died.
Anyway, so this is very obviously Team Rocket. Ash just stands there and lets Jesse grab Pikachu and put him in the Poke Pod, which locks with this, like, industrial-grade lock. And Wobbuffet is over behind some rocks with the only key. So they lock Pikachu in, and Ash is like, oh my god, it's you guys, give me back my Pikachu. And Jesse's like, well, I can't, even if I wanted to, because Wobbuffet has the only key. So then they start to run away, give Pikachu to Wobbuffet, but Wobbuffet is... He doesn't really know the definition of being stealthy, so he gives himself away, and then he immediately trips and falls over a waterfall.
Of course. There's always a waterfall.
So there's a waterfall. How many depths levels does this place, like Pokemon Universe, have? It's like each pit just falls further down into, you know, the pit. The oh abyss is endless.
There's no such thing as geography. It's just whatever happens to be close by that fits the plot is what's going to be there. So Ash gets Pikachu back because Wobbuffet falls over the waterfall. We're like, okay, well, how do we get Pikachu out of this thing? But Wobbuffet has the only key. They try to chase it down and be the first one to get Wobbuffet, who they see, like, go into the forest. And then somehow it, like, climbs the trees, which I don't know how. And then it starts swinging around like some sort of Jell-O Tarzan thing.
Jell-O Tarzan. I like that description.
And then he flops right off over a cliff and falls onto, like, the single, like, tree limb that's, like, hanging out of the side of the cliff. So Ash falls off the cliff and they make it down there and they're like, okay, how do we get Wobbuffet down? But suddenly they're interrupted by a giant tractor trailer that's barreling around the mountainside. They narrowly avoid getting killed, but then Jenny and the other policeman, which I think we don't, do we see the other cops or do we just hear them?
We do. We see them at the roadblock.
The bridge roadblock.
Okay. We actually see them, or other than Jenny this episode, so that's really.
The men wearing Jenny's outfit. Yes. Without the skirt. Sadly.
Which, that's shocking that we see other cops that aren't Jenny. But she's as ineffectual as ever, and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm on the trail of a master thief, Ganondorf, or whatever the hell his name was. What was it again?
Gonneth. He's Gonneth. Gonneth with the wind.
Gonneth.
Gonneth with the wind. Okay. He's apparently a master thief who, like, steals money from banks and jewelry from jewelry stores, and he has a golem that he trains. And Wobbuffet falls onto the truck and, of course, then disappears.
Okay, you said golem. I've always said golem.
Yes.
I've always said golem.
Is it golem or golem?
Now, hold on. Golem is a real word, so let's find out how it's pronounced.
It may be golem.
Golem?
You may have said it right, but I've always said golem.
Maybe I have Lord of the Rings on my brain.
Okay, it's golem is the real word.
Golem is the real word.
But the Pokemon word would probably be golem.
But I think they always say golem.
Is it golem?
Is it G-O, right?
G-O-L-E-M.
Yeah, I always said golem. It's probably
which
golem.
Which is just a... Golem is just a real word, right?
No, golem is a real word.
Like the Lord of the Rings creature.
No, wait. What the fuck am I saying anymore?
you said so many different things.
Oh my god.
Which one's the real one?
Which one's the real one?
Which one is the real word?
Would the real golem please stand up?
Golem is the real word.
Yes.
Golem. And the Pokemon is called?
Golem.
So it's the real word?
Yes.
Okay, golem.
And it's spelled the same too.
Sure. Golem. I didn't think this was going to be that much of a problem. Okay. Golem or whatever. Ganon, Golem, whatever the fuck. Golem.
Smeagol.
Andy Serkis. Okay, so Andy Serkis makes off with Wobbuffet, and they're like, oh no, we have to find him. So Ash is like, Jenny, stop. Stop right there. I need you to let me come with you on your official police business because, I don't know.
She's happy to take him.
Yeah, she throws him right in the back of the police car and lets them go with her to this dangerous pursuit that she's on.
It wouldn't be Officer Jenny without that.
Every day... I feel like this is the Truman Show with Pokemon. Like, everything just planned out.
Well, she needs somebody to do her job for her, so that's why the twerps come along. So they commence this wild goose chase through this city, which I don't even know where they are. It's some kind of, like, town with aqueducts all through it, like, waterways.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah, they had all these bridges, like, drawbridges over it, and there's only, apparently, the only way out of this town is these drawbridges. So they corner him, but lo and behold, he has a golem balloon.
Golem.
That he makes off in because everybody apparently gets away in hot air balloons, so.
What was the deal with that roadblock that they had? Why didn't they just lift the bridge?
They did lift the bridge. They lifted all the bridges.
I thought he ran through that first roadblock.
Yeah, that one was not a...
Wasn't a drawbridge?
Not a drawbridge. So he literally plowed through all the police cars and flipped them all over, which was awesome.
That was cool. But that wasn't a drawbridge? That was just a suspension bridge?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I guess you don't have them all drawbridges in case, like, the draw fails. Everybody's trapped there.
It was just as cool of a car chase scene as the one in the Batman movie.
Don't get me started.
Which Batman movie? The Dark Knight?
The
Robert Pattinson.
Oh, yeah. I'm Justice.
Austin infamously hates the car chase scene in that film, and I joke with him all the time because I thought it was cool, and apparently I have no taste.
I'm with you, Austin. That movie sucked.
I'll be over here on my island. Anyway, so he gets away in the hot air balloon. Wobbuffet is somehow with him. Because I think during this whole part, it's hard to get all the steps right of this chase. Doesn't he, like, fall onto a motorboat and then, like, steals the motorboat from some guy who's just passing by? And then speeds out of control because he breaks the steering wheel off. And then ends up on a motorcycle with the thief.
Yeah, it's fun. It's wacky races. It's Looney Tunes. It's
yeah,
silly and ridiculous.
I'm sure I've forgotten some kind of sequence.
We're not bringing the energy to it, but it's fun.
It is fun. I can't really do it justice. It's wacky. It's wackadoo.
It's scenery. Like I said, it's like gym battles where it could be cool, but like describing it's not cool. You know?
It's, yeah. It's literally like a Scooby-Doo, Looney Tunes, like ridiculous thing. All these things go wrong and Wobbuffet just slips out of the twerp's grasp every single time.
This is a rare Johto episode I would recommend you actually watch.
Yeah. And it's very like Acme, because like meanwhile, while Boba Fett's like slipping and sliding all over town, getting into these ridiculous scenarios, Ash has a giant comically large sledgehammer that he's like trying to get Pikachu out of the pogey pod with.
God, that would jar you so hard in that little small little cell. Just every single time he hits it, it's like, you know, that'd be awful.
Anyway, so Boba Fett gets away. The thief ends up at some abandoned warehouse where there's now an active hostage situation. And Jenny and all the other, like, what did we call the male Jennies before?
Officer Man Jenny.
Officer Man Jenny. All the other Officer Man Jennies are there. And they're trying to negotiate with Ganondorf. And they're like, give us the Wobbuffet. And he's like, not without a helicopter. Give me a helicopter to make my escape and I'll give you the Wobbuffet.
Did they ever tell about Jenny's last name?
Jenny.
No, it's Talia. I think
Jenny is her last name. It has to be.
No, I thought it was Talia.
Talia?
Yeah, genitalia.
Oh, Jacob. Wait, her last name is Jenny?
No, it's Talia.
It's Talia.
Oh, okay. Wait, does that mean that Joy is Joy's last name?
Joy is her last name. So I assume Jenny is the last name as well.
Wait, you said that with such a confidence. How do you know this?
Because they say it.
What?
They do explicitly say Joy is their last name.
Yeah, because they're all the same family.
Really? Yeah.
When did they say that?
Diamond and Pearl.
Oh, we haven't gotten there yet. Wow, what a revelation. Okay, anyway, so he's demanding a helicopter. Meanwhile, Team Rocket's like, we gotta get the Wobbuffet. So they dig a tunnel underground and break into the warehouse to confront him. They're like, give us back our Pokemon. Ash also crawls into the tunnel to confront them in the warehouse, and they get into this battle. I didn't really write down exactly the sequence of events in the battle, but Gonif, or whatever, gets smacked right outside into... He goes through the wall, crashes through the wall.
Wobbuffet beats Golem and Ganondorf and sends them through the wall.
That's Ganondorf. Right.
Because Wobbuffet's the most powerful Pokemon of all.
Ganondorf gets thrown right into the hands of the police. Hooray, the day is saved. Team Rocket makes their escape in their new Wobbuffet balloon, which was super cute. And Ash then manages to blast them off again and get the key back from Wobbuffet.
And he finds Pikachu's corpse, yeah, having asphyxiated hours ago.
It got burned up in this greenhouse of a Pokepod.
There's no way Pikachu should have survived the ordeal, but somehow it does. And so they're reunited. Hooray. Ash is the hero of the day because he captures a Master Thief, does Jenny's job for her, and Team Rocket blasts off again. So,
oh, you know what would be cool? Is if Pikachu instinctively reverted to the red energy and just maintained that form in the Pokepod to survive.
Do we ever see Pikachu ever go in a ball aside from the very first episode where it comes out of it?
The first movie when the eyeball Pokeball catches it.
Oh, that's right.
Doesn't he try to make him go in there to survive, but he refuses to?
He does that a couple times. Early on.
That happens a few times, right? Yeah. So he'd rather die than be in a Pokeball. That tells you all about it.
And I Choose You as well.
I forget that movie, actually. I've only ever seen it once. That was a few years ago.
That's the alternate timeline, right?
Yeah.
See, it's on theme with what's popular these days.
Pokemon Multiverse.
That movie was too real because doesn't he say something to the effect of, like, God, the real world is so boring or something?
That was such a good movie, and I can't wait until we discuss it in the year 2037.
Stick with us until then.
Oh my gosh.
We can do it now, right? Because it's the beginning, so hey. It doesn't really matter when you do it. It's the start of the multiverse.
No. Austin has a plan. We can't diverge from that.
That's right. Okay.
All right. So that's the end of the episode. And again, like I said, and like Austin said, you've really got to watch this one because the verbal description of it really doesn't do it justice. It was a good episode.
Yeah. Wobbuffet's a good wacky character to have a just shenanigans episode with. He's a good choice.
Yeah. This is a good Wobbuffet episode. I liked it much better than Wobbuffet Village, even though Alex adored that episode.
I love Wobbuffet Village.
That's so
How
weird.
Can you sit there and say that, Austin, when they had a little mini Wobbuffet on top of that other Wobbuffet?
That was cute. That was cute.
What was that that girl's name or lady? Was it like Belinda or something? And she was like, my Wobba Fett or whatever. The people, the lady that took in Jesse and James.
Like Luna or something. Or Lulu.
Lulu, yeah, or something like that.
Pulu.
I adored that episode. You know what? Wobba Fett's just, it's underrated. It's a good Pokemon.
Okay, well, you love that episode so much. Which was better, this one or that one?
What else happened in the Wobba Fett Village episode?
There was the sacrifice.
Laser, taser, and phaser.
Oh, that's right. Laser, taser, phaser.
I think I like that one better. Because laser, blazer, and taser, or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but we made that up.
We tied it into that movie.
Yeah, because we had just watched Dodgeball.
See, another classic cinema.
See, we didn't have anything to say about this episode because it was a good episode and I had no critiques.
Yeah, we didn't have to make... The only thing we made up was Jenny's last name.
And Ganondorf, the Master Thief.
Yeah, we were struggling for material with this one.
Yeah, that's because his name sucks. So, I mean, I guess Gonneth, I guess, works.
I mean, he was just a random guy. Like, I don't... My one critique of this would be, like, I don't know why he has to be, like, a Master Thief who, like... has a golem, whatever the fuck, but that was random.
I wish it was Todd Snap. Like, his camera's broken, and so he just was like, I gotta do crime now to get money.
Oh my god, you know who it should have been? It should have been Melvin Richie. The Magician, who turned into a life of crime because he couldn't, I don't know, do anything after... Was he in the Execute episode?
Who, Melvin the Magician?
Yeah.
Melvin would be good.
No, but Melvin would be competent. He would hypnotize the entire town into drowning themselves.
He almost blew up an entire town and then, like, took over.
You know what would be a good one, too? Is Brock's dad. It's like all the kids have grown up now and he has nothing else to do, but Brock still hasn't aged. So that'd be kind of a funny, like, thing to spill into it. And now Brock's dad is, like, now crime because he has nothing left to do. I would like that. I like Brock's dad to come back.
He's coming. Richie's coming. Flint's coming.
A Flint, that's right.
Don't you worry, Jacob.
Oh, God.
Hopefully they do him justice. They deserve better.
I can't wait for Lola to show up.
All right.
So that was a wayward Wobba Fett.
And let's go to the MVP, LVP, and the quote. Most viable player, least viable player. Alex, you're first, followed by Austin, and then me.
My MVP is going to be a Wobba Fett, of course. So cute. And he's so ineffectual when it comes to, like, being stealthy or whatever. He's just not good at being bad. He's too cute and innocent.
That's why he's the perfect fit for Team Rocket.
They're not really bad. We've seen the good of Team Rocket. They try to act like they're tough, but they're really not.
You know what we skipped over?
What?
The scene where he saw Jesse's face in the clouds and he started clapping.
Yeah, when he's floating down the river after he goes over the waterfall, he daydreams about Jesse and he loves her so much. He's so cute. Anyway, my LVP is going to be Jenny for doing nothing the entire episode. Just as incompetent as ever. My quote... Oh, okay. The part where... So Wobba Fett goes over the waterfall. It gets out of the river and then starts going into the trees. And this is after it's, you know, swinging around like Tarzan. And the twerps are giving chase and... Brock runs out of the tree line right into this cliff edge and he stops suddenly and he says, hey, be careful, guys. I almost went right over the edge. And Ash continues to run and says, the what? As he falls.
See, that was awesome. That's a perfect example of like the physical comedy of this episode. It's pretty good.
Oh, God.
That is so Looney Tunes. That is perfect. What the what?
He runs off and then it's that minute of like hanging in the air until he like realizes he's off of the ground. And then
like his legs are still running on the air that's there. Yeah, it's perfect.
It was funny.
That was good.
My MVP is going to be Jesse. At one point, they're in different hot air balloons pretty far apart. And Jesse says, hey, I know. And she tries to recall Wobba Fett with the Pokeball beam. And I was like, yes, someone finally tried to do that for when they should. I was so happy.
Pokeball mechanics.
Because usually when the Pokemon are like in a perilous situation, they never think, oh, let's just use the Pokeball. But this time Jesse did.
That's such a good call out, Austin. I didn't even think about that. Good for you.
And of course it gets wacky because every time Jesse shoots the beam, Wobba Fett like flies off 50 feet in the other direction and it can't get it to it. So that was funny. LVP. I'm going to give it to Gonneth for his stupid name.
Ganondorf.
Yeah, Ganondorf. And also because I couldn't understand a word he was saying or what he was referencing. I don't know what he was. I did not like him.
Was he supposed to be a reference to something?
If he was, I don't know. I didn't care about him at all.
He was like a circus guy. He kind of reminded me of, what is that teacher Earl with that weird way he spoke.
Yeah, he like spoke like in a like a
like Master Yoda.
Grammatically incorrect. It was weird. Yeah. Anyway, my quote will actually be from Gonif, ironically. And he says to Jesse, "I'm not giving back to anybody this waddly gook, lady." What? He called Boba Fett a waddly gook.
Oh my god.
If that was a bad quote, I have another one.
No, that was good.
I'll let Jesse go.
That's good.
I'll let Jesse go. I'll let James.
Yeah.
God damn it, what's your name? I'll let Jacob go next.
You're James now, Jacob.
No, he's Jesse.
Are you okay, Austin?
No, I'm not. Okay. Pancake smells back. I'm losing my mind.
Wait, can you really smell it?
No, I cannot.
Oh, I'm going to give my MVP to Golem for that fun conversation he sparked for this episode about how to enunciate words. Since we're running theme here today.
I still don't know if it's Golem or Golem.
It's Golem. It's got to be Golem.
It's whatever your heart desires.
You just change it up. It doesn't matter. It's okay. Oh my gosh. Should I give this LVP to... I'll give it to the guy on the boat.
Who's like, you know, just
the poor guy's just like driving along and then this giant massive blob lands on him and knocks him over and he lands in the motor of the boat. And we don't know his fate, but it's probably not good.
I think we never see him again.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Boba Fett launches him out of the boat and he's gone.
Yeah.
Well, we see him like come up and say, "Hey, my boat." But then Boba Fett, he breaks the steering wheel and the gear shift off of this thing and basically destroys it. So.
Oh, this is the... That was another thing I was going to bring up. A testament to the physics this episode. Like, the boat is basically in a free... runaway, like, because the gear shift's broken, you can't control how fast it's going, and it's launching itself full speed. So Ash and his brilliance pulls out the gator Pokemon.
Totodiddle.
Did he really?
Totodiddle comes out to play, and he just holds it, and he uses it to use water gun to blast against the bridge to stop them. But that wouldn't work because the motor is still running behind it. So they would just continuously run into it. It made zero sense, but that was another funny part of the episode. Yes, Alex.
Can I just add on to my MVP for the Boba Fett thing and the fact that Boba Fett apparently has the strength of like five men because he breaks off of a metal gear shift and a steering wheel on a boat with a single touch? Like, how strong is this thing?
They're trying to instruct him on how to like stop the boat, and he just like touches it and just shatters.
It breaks right off.
To finish her up here, my quote actually comes from Jesse, and this is when they're like in their circle and they're lamenting the loss of Boba Fett, and she actually just does his cry, and it's just like, it was just cute. Aww. It was like Boba Fett. She's like crying. It sounded it sounded pretty close to like that, and I just found that funny. And you know, she's losing it over there.
Austin, real quick. In Japanese, is Boba Fett, like, does that mean something? Like, when they just say the name, like, is that...
Right, it's a pronouncement of agreement.
Oh, okay.
So he's like, when Meow says that's right, he's basically saying that.
Gotcha, okay.
He's saying, like, I agree with that, or whatever.
Gotcha, okay.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is.
That's what it
that's
means.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. That's, like, awesome saying, it's agreeing.
Doodaloo, that's just the way it is.
All right, Jacob, you ready for the next episode, Sick Dave?
Oh, yeah, I'm always ready. That's just the way I are.
All right, you are ready in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so Sick Days, we're coming across some sick days here because Brock is actually sick and he can't take care of the twerps. Turns out they have no survival skills without Brock, so we kind of appreciate him a little bit this episode. But they can't cook, they can't take care of their Pokemon, and they try to fulfill Brock's duties. They try to cook, it turns out horrible. They try to polish his rocks, it turns out awful. Brock keeps like trying to come back and help him, but his Pokemon keep drugging him to put him back to sleep. He finally sleeps it off and comes to save the day from Team Rocket after they take Pikachu.
So, like the Boba Fett episode, I like this a lot because it was kind of an atypical episode. It was just kind of a domestic episode, just the twerps living life. And you know those are the episodes I love the most.
And it answers questions, too. Because like we never see him sick, and like 10-year-olds alone in the forest, they're going to get sick.
Yep. Today is a special day because all the Pokemon are out of their Pokeballs.
Onix is there,
Pineco's there, Goldeen is there, Staryu's there, Golbat's there, everyone's here.
Yeah, well, they're conveniently right by a lake so that Goldeen can make an appearance.
Correct. They're next to a lake in their log cabin, or in their wood cabin, as of course they are.
of course.
And they're going to stay there for at least one night because, oh my God, Brock collapses while preparing food. He just falls over dead on the ground.
My God, I really thought this was the end for Brock.
So we bring him over to the bed, the single bed in the cabin, and he's sick today. So Ash and Misty are going to do all of his chores today, which thankfully he has written down in his little notepad the instructions for all of his recipes and the details of what all he does for these ungrateful children every day.
Which is smart, because he knows they can't take care of themselves. Yeah. So he's like, my contingency plan is to just write everything down. So that's pretty responsible.
The fact that Ash, first of all, like, they have the audacity to, like, complain about what Brock does. They're like, oh, you're making oatmeal again, Brock? Fuck you with your oatmeal. But, like, he literally does everything. Everything. Like, what do Ash and Misty do? Sit around eating bonbons while, like, Brock, like, just toils away, like, endlessly? Like, what?
Yep.
That's so messed up.
They would have died longer. Well, when they didn't have Tracy, they had to eat those goddamn fruit sandwiches.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. They didn't go to... Well, that's the reason why they kicked him out of the tribe. We need Brock back. He's the provider.
Get him out.
Brock is the only one single-handedly keeping them all alive.
Tracy just draws him food and says, eat it. Brock's actually
like... So thankfully, Brock has written instructions. And while Misty and Ash are strategizing, Geodude and Onyx come up. And they're like, we still exist. Pay attention to us. And Misty's like, oh, right, today is the day that Rock polishes his rocks. So now Ash and Misty have to polish the rocks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So Ash pulls out, like, a scrubber brush that you use at a car wash to clean Onyx, while Misty is working on the ball, which is Geodude.
Wow.
He only has one Geodude, not two. Interesting.
Sometimes people only have one Geodude, Austin.
That's okay. True, that's true. It's not going very well. Because apparently they started polishing the rocks without looking at the instruction manual for how to polish rocks.
How hard can it be to polish rocks?
Hey. So Ash is like, fuck this. Totodile, use water gun. And poor Onyx has to scurry for his life and eventually kicks Ash and Misty away with his tail.
To be fair, Misty was like, there's got to be an easier way. Let's consult the book. And she was about to do it the way that he describes, which is like putting sand on the brush or something and like... scrubbing it like that way, but Ash is impulsive and can't wait for 5 seconds.
And he wants Onyx to die.
Poor Onyx.
Meanwhile, Brock is having a fever dream about some gorgeous girls beckoning him to have the pancake orgy with him. And then he gets hit by a meteor.
And then he gets dragged into hell.
Yeah, basically. Pineco and Golbat / Timothy are watching him. And he wakes up, and Timothy's like, not on my watch. So he supersonics him back to sleep.
Brock took that like a champ, though. He, like, supersonics him and, like, falls back and then comes right back up. It's just...
Yeah, I know. It was a very weak supersonic, yeah. Even though Golbat has the ability to, like, destroy computers with supersonic.
You want me to go back to sleep, buddy? I will.
Meanwhile, Ash goes looking for apples. But instead, he finds Team Rocket, who's also picking apples. It's boring. He'd blast off Team Rocket.
Okay, first of all, it's free real estate. Like, I feel like Team Rocket was not doing anything wrong in this. This is a wild apple field. They were not doing anything technically illegal. Like, they were just being entrepreneurial. Like, okay, we're going to suck up all these apples and make, like, jam or something to sell.
Ash does not believe in small businesses. He says, get the fuck out of here, Team Rocket.
Yeah, and then he takes their apple. He literally steals their apples.
Bulbasaur's the one who's like, well, let's take their apples now. And Ash is like, good job, Bulbasaur.
So let's steal what they stole. This is great. Ash is such a corporate shill.
This is one of those episodes where Ash is the bad guy. Team Rocket is just like, we have no money to pay the bills. Let's just try to sell some apples to make ends meet and start a little apple business. And Ash is like, fuck you, I'm taking this.
No wonder they keep coming back. Ash keeps stealing their entrepreneurial ideas.
Honestly, that might make Ash my MVP because he does not give a fuck. He's like, get out of here, these are mine.
Okay, so question. Team Rocket has like 3-cylinder vacuum cleaner thingies full of apples. Ash only gives Brock like one. He like cuts them up into cubes to give him later. Where did all the rest of the apples go?
He sold them. He sold them for...
That's how they get their money.
He's like, I gotta say, it's probably the rotten one, too. You know, they got smushed in the back, and I was just like, I'll give this one to Brock.
Well, he does choke on it, so.
I know. I thought for sure it was going to be like, these apples are, like, not ripe or something. Tainted. But that didn't happen.
Yeah.
They interrupt Brock's dream of him falling to hell again to feed him the poisoned apples to ensure that he falls into a coma. Misty proves that she's also not the brightest bulb in the twerps because she is going to use Brock's recipe, but then, oh no, she used sugar instead of salt. That's okay. She'll just put a bunch more salt in to counterbalance that. But that was too much salt. Let me just throw an entire bag of sugar instead. Oh no, now we need an entire bag of salt. And then she says, oh, I don't like this recipe. So she throws in 47 secret ingredients to make her own special concoction.
Gosh, that was like a week's worth of salt and stuff she threw away too. It's
the fact that she wasted all these premium ingredients that Brock somehow has with him. Oh God, what did I wrote down the list? Did you write the list of all the stuff she throws in?
No, I didn't. It was like wasabi, miso, soy sauce.
Well, she doesn't name all 47, but it was like ketchup, mayonnaise, soy sauce, Worcestershire, miso, curry powder, garlic paste, wasabi, mustard, oregano, and cinnamon.
Misty is just as dumb as Ash is. We give her too much credit sometimes.
When it comes to being like self-sufficient, both of them are severely lacking.
Turns out Misty's mystery stew is poison, so we all move on from that and just decide to collapse and go to sleep rather than eat it. So Team Rocket's here again, and they all try to eat the stew, and James and Meowth are like, that's rancid, but Jessie fucking loves it.
This is great. She's like, this is a culinary gourmet.
She grew up eating snow, so...
That's true.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, any kind of flavoring is good for her.
God, I forgot she ate snow.
I kind of stopped paying attention, but all the twerps Pokemon are outside their balls for the night for some reason, which allows Team Rocket to come and take all of them, including Onyx, who they just like attach like a suction cup to.
Wait, you skipped over the best part of how they got them to lured into the woods.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It was that episode where they had the Richie doll and the voice changing microphone, but now it's an Ash doll.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a wooden dummy thing, but the fact that, like, they literally made it a point to where, so the Ash dummy is sticking out of the bushes, and he's like, hey, Pokemon, come and play with me, in, like, this robot voice. And they literally have the Pokemon look back to where Ash is sleeping, right there, and they still go to the Ash dummy.
Who was it? Was it Chikorita, Cyndaquil, Totodile, and Bulbasaur?
Bulbasaur was the one who was like, wait, but then he still goes with them.
God, they're so dumb. Noctowl would have saved the day if he had been aware of the moment.
Was it, they were trying to, like, they were sleepy? Is that what they were trying to make it look like? Because they kind of look at the real Ash and yawn, and they're like, I guess this is a real, you know, then they walk off. I guess they're trying to...
I guess, but...
This Ash is asleep, but this Ash is awake, so let's listen to that one.
Ash we know never sleeps. No, that's true. They've never seen Ash sleep because they've never been out long enough.
That's true. They're always in their Pokeballs.
They're always in their Pokeballs. So they've never actually seen their, I don't know, whatever, trainer sleep. And so they got confused by that. They're like, maybe he's dead and this is the real Ash now.
I thought Bulbasaur was going to be a voice of reason because he kind of like is like, hey guys, wait up. But he still goes with them. So
yeah, we kind of think of Bulbasaur as like an elder statesman and like a more mature one. But I guess not.
Nah, he's never seen him sleep either.
But maybe it was like Bulbasaur was like, Johto Pokemon, come back. What are you doing?
Maybe for like a split second. But he doesn't like make any moves to like, I thought he was going to send out a vine or something and be like, wait, guys, like, don't go, like, stay back here. But it's no.
Peer pressure.
Bulbasaur's still here, even though it's season four. He's just coasting. He's not questioning the scripts.
Bulbasaur doesn't, I feel like he's got to go at some point.
He's still here.
Yeah, but it's got to be soon, right?
Soonish.
Can he just leave?
I mean, I love Bulbasaur, but like, Ash has two grass starters. Like, we got to move on.
Bulbasaur, you're just taking up space and you're not doing anything.
I mean, basically.
He probably gets told that. That's why he left. He's like, maybe this Ash is nicer. This Ash should be cooler.
He had a good contract when they were signing up for season one.
Yeah.
And he gets to stay longer than anyone else.
And he got screwed.
So Team Rocket gets all the Pokemon, including Onyx, who they're able to transport using their rocket-powered balloon. And at this point, Ash and Misty are completely helpless, but then it's Golbat to the rescue. Golbat comes in and he swoops in and pops the balloon.
Yay, Timothy.
And Brock comes here and Onyx and Pineco help out. Everyone but Geodude helps out. And they blast off Team Rocket because Brock has beaten his illness and he is truly the only competent twerp there is.
They can't do anything without Brock. Poor Brock.
No, they can't.
When does Brock wake up and say, you know what? I've had enough of this ungratefulness.
Season 13.
Okay.
It's going to be a while.
Oh, we got a long time.
The next day, Brock makes them breakfast and they're all so thankful for him for once in their lives. And Brock says, I got all this stuff to do. And Ash and Misty say, no, you need to take a break. You need to take a rest once in a while. So he's all excited so he can go back to his dream, so he can catch up to the beautiful girls. And this time, no one wakes him up and he's able to have his sex dream, which is probably incredibly embarrassing if we were to see it. So thankfully, we cut away to be continued.
Oh, yeah. Brock.
You know what was? I was really thinking one of his dreams was going to be? Was like Nurse Joy taking care of him.
Yeah, he didn't dream anything other than like the three flower ladies from the field.
That's what he wants.
He got them. He got them in the end. He got to have his sexy dream where he puts his dick in their like belly buttons or something. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Whatever kids dream of these days.
Yeah, I don't think for all of Brock's like daydreams and desires, I don't think he'd actually know what to do if it really got to that point.
No, he would not.
No, he'd be like any kid, teenager. It's like a dog chasing cars. You wouldn't know what to do if you caught it. Nope. I stole that line from Batman.
Which one?
The Dark Knight, when Heath Ledger's talking about the Joker's meaning. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a dog chasing cars.
Oh.
Best Batman movie.
R.I.P. Heath Ledger. Oh my God.
Well, that's it, Austin. I'm sick of that episode, so we can move on here.
I liked it. It was different.
Yeah, it was good.
It wasn't like an all-timer, but it was good.
Yeah.
It answered the question of who actually keeps the twerps alive.
I would have loved if Brock got sick, and then it was like, oh, you're just sick in time for the sick festival. Everybody's just like, it looks like a play camp.
Oh, it wasn't. These are a good pair of episodes, I think.
Sorely needed.
Yeah.
Well, you say that, but I'm sure the next ones are going to be back to our annual festival.
Well, I'll tell you after we do our MVP, LVP, and quote, I'll tell you what's next.
Oh, okay. I'll wait the verdict after.
You don't have to wait long for the MVP, LVP, because you're going first.
Again.
Followed by me, and then Austin.
My MVP is going to be, oh my gosh, this is so difficult, because there are so many standouts. Can I just say Brock's Pokemon? Like, because I feel like I can't say just Onix or just Golbat. They were both so good.
Yeah, don't leave any MVPs for the rest of us.
Yeah, take just them all.
All right, fine.
I'm going to be specific. I'm going to give it to Timothy the Golbat.
Timothy is really coming out to be like an all-time MVP for Johto.
Timothy is really pulling his weight.
He doesn't have any bad moments. Like, he rescues the day, especially this rescues the day, not Steer Thunder Alex, and he takes care of Brock. Like, he's always there when you need him. He's all reliable.
Yeah, exactly. He was super cute. He was playing like nursemaid to Brock. Like, no, you are not going to get out of this bed. You're going to rest. You're going to recover your strength because otherwise things could get worse. He basically swoops in at the end and beats Team Rocket because Ash and Misty can't function, apparently. Yeah, overall, just a standout performance today by Timothy. My LVP is going to be, I want to say Ash and Misty together, but I'm going to say...
You can do it.
Okay, I'm going to give it to them because they can't function without Brock and they actively make things worse for Brock while he's sick. They don't appreciate anything Brock does, apparently, because they don't even realize all the work that he does. My quote is going to be, okay, it's going to be when Jesse and James are tasting Misty's mystery stew, and she feeds it to James and Meowth, and Jesse says, hey, what's the matter with you two? Don't you like it? And Meowth says, well, it ain't that I don't like it, Jesse. It's that I hate it. And James says, you know, they have better tasting food than this on airlines and coach.
Sorry. That was the best one.
It was good. The best one.
I was.
It's always James. Always James.
Always.
It's my turn now. I'm going to give my MVP to Brock this episode. We throw a lot of turds his way and call him weird and stuff, but we got to give him his dues. He is an excellent provider for Ash and Misty, because otherwise they won't be able to make it. So I'm going to give him his due diligence and give him the MVP of this episode just for us finding out how much we need him. Otherwise, we would die. We would die and the series would be gone. My LVP, I'll give it to Bulbasaur for...
Damn it.
Yeah. Just for come on. We've been to this charade how many times, Bulbasaur? You longer than anyone. I expected better from you. And my quote is basically Misty talking about her own stew or whatever. It's called, it's my own recipe, which I call Misty's Mystery Stew. It has 47 secret ingredients in it, which is amazing because this gold drum she's making it in is like the size of a shoebox. So for that thing to have 47 ingredients in it is amazing.
I liked how it was purple.
Yeah, it was purple. It was purple and like red with like mushroom spores on it. It's weird.
Ew.
The fact that she wasted all of his ingredients, like that couldn't have been cheap either. Sugar, salt, mustard, whatever.
I'm going to carry that theme with Misty and say after she puts like all the sugar and salt into the pot, she says, I don't like this recipe. It's just a bunch of sugar and salt. Even though that wasn't the recipe, that was her being stupid. So that was funny. My MVP, Alex, would you rather me give it to Geodude, Pineco, or Onyx?
Pineco.
Well, if you knew me, if you know me at all, Austin, you would know the answer Onyx. To that. Yes.
Okay, do you want to have all Brock's Pokemon? Do you want them?
No, because I gave it to Timothy, who was the standout of the standouts. True. So
I'll give it to Onyx because when Ash tried to waterboard him, he was not having it, and he managed to avoid it. My LVP, I will give it... Oh, shoot, they're really not a good LVP.
Oh, my God, if you don't give it to Ash...
You already gave it to Ash.
Oh, I did. Oh, my God, I don't even remember what I said.
Double Ash.
Double Ash LVP.
Double Ash.
Can we take Ash from you and give it to me? Can we reallocate?
Sure.
Who cares?
But you have to mention the fact that Ash should have known better because he literally beat Onyx with water before, so he should know more than anyone.
He also stole the apples from Team Rocket.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'll give my LVP to Team Rocket for getting assaulted by Ash for no reason.
Honestly, I wouldn't blame you if you gave it to Ash, too, because he deserves a double LVP. He's so bad.
That's it. Who wants to hear about what we're doing next week?
What are we doing next week?
The next two episodes are Ringmasters and the Pokey Spokesman.
That's what's on the menu for next week. Well, I'm glad that's on the menu and not Misty's secret ingredients, because that would be awful. All right, is that it? Any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
I'm good.
Another day, another Johto.
Another day, another Johto. I like it. Well, from all of us here, we would like to say thank you all for listening, and please leave us a 5-star rating. If you have any questions or comments, you can send them to outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. Again, that is outofthedrawingpan@gmail.com. We have an X account, formerly known as Twitter. The handle is outofdrawingpan. Again, the handle is outofdrawingpan. We got an Instagram. You can follow that. Alex posts some cool stuff there. It's just called outofthedrawingpan. Again, that is outofthedrawingpan. We also have a Patreon. You can read about that in the description and the link to the podcast. And once again, thank you all for joining us. Be sure to join us next time as this journey continues.